Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend. Good morning, friend.
Every day's a brand new morning since the morning you moved in. Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you living in.
We all are pieces of a whole. Different feelings to evolve, giving distinction to the role. Different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seed to sow. Set your heart apart, take it down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
All right. 9:07 WPTF time. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. This is hour number two. And we just kind of laid back and relaxed this morning. And we've had all these remotes and been out chatting with people and hyped up. And now we just kind of laid back this morning. So
yeah,
that's nice.
How about a Cliff Joyner?
Cliff, hey, we're going to see him Friday.
Yes, we are. Well, Cliff says today, in the face of uncertainty, there's nothing wrong with hope.
Well, yeah. All I mean, right. It's just kind of basic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
A little optimism.
Hope springs eternal.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Cliff.
Yeah. Well, that was actually by Carl Simonton, whoever that was.
I don't know, Cliff. Cliff would have thought of that.
We give it to Cliff.
There's no more optimistic person in this world than Cliff Joyner.
No.
Nor, I mean, they're very, I don't know if anybody nicer. He's a nice person, so he could have said that. We'll give him credit. All right, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. Before we got, we went into tomatoes out of went into camellias out of the lawn stuff, and I wanted to ask you before we left that about a variety called Zorro Zoysia. Do you know anything about Zorro Zoysia?
Is that the real thin blade?
I don't know. Chip Winston was talking about it was more shade tolerant, I suppose.
Yeah, well, there are.
Of course, I hear those claims all the time.
Exactly what I was getting ready to say. It depends upon the amount of shade. And I guess I don't know the right word to say, the quality of the shade. I mean, sometimes you can have what I call filtered sunlight. You're mostly in the shade, but you're still getting a little bit of light through it. And then there's that what I call heavy shade, where it just doesn't see much sunlight. And there has been all kinds of work on getting a Bermuda that would be shade tolerant and zoysias that are more shade tolerant, because the golf course industry needs them around tee boxes. You know, there's so many places on golf holes where are wooded, but they still have got to have, you know, manicured grass, and they've been trying to get a zoysia would do it. I don't know if the Zorro may be a little bit more, but I don't think it's going to take a whole lot of shade.
Still need 6 hours.
I think so. I think so. But to be honest, I have not planted. I think that's the really, really thin-bladed one. And there are a lot of people that like it because it's, to me, it looks a little bit more like Bermuda because the blades are so thin on it. And I've always liked the thinner blades better than the wider blades. Of course, if you've got a good stand on one, you'd be happy with that.
Now, what about Zeon? A lot of people plant Zeon. Is that a fine bladed?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There have been so many new zoysias come onto the market in the last 5 years. You know, NC State has a new one that they released. And I think the one thing that still holds me back from zoysia over Bermuda is for some reason grubs are much more prone to get into zoysia than they are. They just eat the roots up, and then you have a dead spot. So I don't care what variety of zoysia you plant, you're going to have to treat it twice a year to kill the grubs. And that's not a problem that you see with Bermuda. So yeah, for that reason alone, I mean, people are looking for a summer grass that's more, you know, you don't have to spend as much time on. And the fact that you've got to do that at least twice a year, because I've encountered that myself. And you see places out there that look like, you know, the size of your foot in the grass, and you reach down in the grass, there's no roots left. It's just gone. That's why it's turned brown.
But the Bermuda is more aggressive if you have plant beds, natural areas.
It is, but the if you still are maintaining the grass like you could, fertilizing it, keeping it cut low, the zoysia is still going to run too. I mean, just like centipedes going to run. Right. Not as aggressive as the Bermuda, but sooner or later it's going to be an issue as well.
Are people planting St. Augustine around here?
I think you're going to see an uptick in St. Augustine. NC State has a new St. Augustine grass, which is an improvement on Raleigh, which is the St. Augustine grass that's been around forever.
What's the name of it?
I know you was going to ask me that.
I'm sorry. I'll look it up.
I'll have to track it down. But St. Augustine grass can take more shade than any other summer grass there is, warm season grass. That is without question. Back people that have lived in the Wake County area for a long time, I can remember when all of the medians at Cameron Village they had it planted under the oak trees that were growing there, and it looked fine. And that was getting a lot of shade where that was planted at. That's the first place I ever remember seeing it at, thinking, what in the world is that grass there that's doing so well?
Well, Johnny Hood used to have some, and he had it was filtered shade out in his yard out on Penny Road, but it looked really good. And I had a neighbor who had some too, and I see it at the beach. I see it at Topsail. Some people have that, mostly. I think it's probably Bermuda that they have down there, but St. Augustine is known for it, most varieties at least, for resistance to salt air, not having salt air problems. So, yeah, people are always hoping to find a warm season grass that will work well for them because there's less maintenance and they don't have to worry about planting it every year. And fescue can be very expensive because you have to keep buying bags of fescue every year. And, you know, aeration is fine. But
Sola, S-O-L-A.
Sola
is the new St. Augustine developed by NC State. And I think, you know, it takes a while with sod farms to get it growing and all, but I think that's probably 3 years ago it was released, so I think now you probably could find it and, you know, should be pretty readily available. Go on to NC Sod Producers website. And
Super Sod, folks out at the Farmer's Market tell
you. I'd be surprised if they didn't have it.
Yeah. So, try that. That has traditionally been truly a more shade-tolerant grass out of all the ones that we talk about. So 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. Insect problems, you noticed a lot more insects this year, Gerald?
Well, I had more problems with hornworms this year in my tomato plants and my pepper plants than I can ever remember. Of course, I had about 80 plants that I grew out this year, probably two-thirds of them peppers and a third tomatoes to save seed from. But I can't recall ever having as much of an issue with them. You know, right now you're coming off of that. If you it's probably just past the window of when you would have that grub issue I was talking about earlier in your zoysia grass. You tend to see the grubs, you know, their maturity dates kind of jive with the seasonal changes coming out of spring into summer, coming out of summer into fall, and that's when you tend to see them doing the most damage. So that might would be something to take a look at if you had a zoysia lawn right now.
Yeah, was it the hornworm we had so many problems with last year and fescue and everything else?
No, that would have been probably army worms.
Army worms, that's right. That's
army worms, they'd have eaten us things that's ever been.
They didn't know. We didn't have that problem this year, did we?
I did not, but I'm not seeing as many people that I get asked those questions as when I was at the university.
Yeah, I guess that must have been because of a, I don't know if they were brought in with a tropical storm or something. Maybe.
I remember the first time I ever saw them, I was a teenager. And that was the first time I can recall they'd ever come into Wake County. They got in the soybeans.
Oh, wow.
And they, in fact, you had to spray them to kill them.
Yeah.
They got in them right as they, in the later summer, as they were, the beans were already mature. They had just bloomed and made the beans. And they literally, in 2 or 3 days, stripped every single leaf off of. Well, nothing left but the stems.
Well, they tore up some grass last year.
And that is, I'm sure with everything, with insects, they, over time, it gets worse and worse, and they get into more things and other than that. But that's, you've only started to hear them being an issue in grass in maybe the last 7 or 8 years. You know, I didn't, it was more of an agricultural problem before that, but you're seeing more of that now.
Let's talk to Martha. Martha, good morning, RWPTF.
You sounds like you guys are having a good time.
Yes, ma'am. We always do.
I have a question about my lantana. It's huge. Of course, it's stopped blooming now. It's got the black berries all over it. Last year, I didn't cut it back until like February. Can I just chop? When can I cut it back?
Is it Miss Huff? Is it
probably
get 6 foot tall with the orange and yellow blooms?
Yeah, it's big and gorgeous. I love it. I can have it big where it is.
I don't like to cut it back until we've had at least a good freeze.
Okay.
In other words, getting below 32 degrees.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you know we're having, it feels, you know, nice today. We're having what, 37 degree low. Mm-hmm. We may get back up and have another hot streak sometime in November, and it's going to try to actively grow. And if you cut it back too soon, I think maybe you're putting a little stress on it. But it's a pretty durable plant.
It's pretty hard
to make a mistake with it.
Yeah, I cut it back last year in the winter. It had gotten cold, and I cut it back to like 2 feet. How low can you cut it back?
I have cut it to 6 inches before.
Yeah.
I believe it. It's so weird. I've got another one in the same flower bed that almost grows 6 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
Does that come back every year?
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, the little one has come back.
So you're fortunate in that regard, because in my experience, many of the lantanas that don't get but like 18 inches tall,
they're more annuals.
12 to 16 are more true annuals.
Right. Well, you know, it's hardly worth it, but it's a cute little thing. I just leave it there.
Yeah.
Now I have a pepper question.
Mm-hmm.
Why can your jalapeno not practice archery? Because it doesn't have an arrow.
Everybody's got to be a comedian on this show.
Well, y'all were talking about peppers. I just couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you threw it out there.
Yes. That's good.
Anyway, okay, well, that was for Don. Y'all know Don. I'm Don and Martha. But anyway, I'll talk to you soon, and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much, Martha.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Habanero.
Habanero, huh? Shoot those arrows. All right, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 9:20. All right, we're back. So we're going to do something here. Get Martha to come back and tell us another joke. What we ought to do. That 919-860-9783. 919-860-WPTF. Now, I remember years ago, Lantana, they would tell you not, some would tell us not to cut back until you started seeing green.
Yeah,
but you're from the different camp.
I've never waited that long. I've always cut it back.
But don't they have hollow stems?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I thought if you cut them,
not hollow, they're not hollow until they've start to dry.
Oh, okay.
Start to dry out. Uh-huh. I have cut them back in January before, in February before. I have cut them back sometimes in December. But, you know, we've got sometimes where I don't like to cut them back if it's, you know, it could warm up the week after that.
Yeah, but lately we've gotten our coldest weather in January. Yeah, so.
If it's Miss Huff, you can't hardly make a mistake. And there are, you know, the Chapel Hill varieties get like 3.5 foot, 4 foot tall. They're pretty good at perennializing. And there's, I think there's one of the landmark ones that also is in that 3.5, 4 foot range. There's a good chance it'll perennialize. But Miss Huff is, you know, almost bulletproof.
Rufus, I was talking. Rufus was out a second. We were just bringing up the Lantana thing again, and talking about. Gerald said, "Wait until after you get a hard freeze before you cut them." But many people who've been on this show would say, "No, you cut it back when you see greenery coming up in the spring or late spring. That's when they usually start seeing the growth come up, and then you cut back the stems because they're worried about the hollow stems and the freezing inside the hollow stems, you know, water getting in there." But Gerald's from the other camp, so that's what we were
I
discussing.
I think it's called an old wives' tale. I don't want to be.
Well, I tend to do things at the same time. So if I'm cutting back roses, then I'm going to cut back whatever perennials need to be cut back then. And, you know, it's not the best-looking thing in the world when it's, you know, bare and dried
up. That's the truth.
Dried up looking. And now, that's probably the reason she was asking.
I'm sure.
Wanting to cut it back sooner because it's, you know.
Well, Irv Evans used to talk about some daffodils, for instance. Put daffodils all over the place. And then they look good for a while, and then they start turning brown and drooping and all this stuff. He says, be careful where you plant the things. If you don't want things looking bad, you got to be careful where you
plant
them.
Because you have to let them go through that process, because that's how it gets the food to create, for the bulb to create next year's bloom.
Yeah. You can't trim them up and tie them up.
Immediately.
And, do it, all that stuff.
I'm so like Gerald. When I have my pruning of my roses about February.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go around and cut off hibiscus stalks,
right?
Ginger lily, you name it.
That's when I do the Confederate rose.
Oh, and by the way,
that
they're just
shouldn't
now
be blooming
starting.
Right now. Should be.
I
blooming
love
now.
That. They are so huge.
I know the plant, the flower is pretty. The plant's not very pretty.
No.
So I'll take exception with that.
Yeah. You think it is?
Yes, I do.
Are you just being contrarian? Yeah, you being a contrarian this morning.
It's a large plant for such a small flower, but
yeah, it is.
Boy, does it make up for it.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful flower.
Well, there are not a lot of things that bloom the season when it's blooming.
Right. Well, that's
what I like about
That's true. Have something blooming in your yard all the time. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF after a little check on the news. We're talking about fried fish roe and frog legs and stuff like that, and caviar.
Well, you can't go frog gigging now because it's sort of a endangered species.
Well, that's true. You don't see
it. We used to wade the Watauga River and the New River And I was the gunny sack guy. You had
the catcher.
The guy that went ahead with the light and the gig.
Oh, great.
And then when they gigged the frog, they put it back to the gunny sack guy.
Y'all have water moccasins up there?
Oh, Lord, sometimes the big old big one floating by. It was...
So they put the youngest in front. That's great.
No, the youngest is behind.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought... That's right. That's right. That makes more sense.
They came back with the frog gig and the frog on it. It was my job to take a knife and cut the legs off and throw the rest out in there, and then big old snake come get it. And I saw a couple of water dogs that were pretty big. I never did understand what a water dog is, but there's such a thing as a water dog. I'll be corrected by some biologist out there, but I've encountered water dogs. But you couldn't go frog gigging today. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to step into either as you're waiting along the river. Sometimes I'd go totally under.
Well, I mean, if you grow up on a farm, you got to worry about that anyway.
And me afraid of the water to begin with. Then I'd bob back up and they'd say, well, here you go with the frog. Cut his legs off. And you take him home and clean him up. And then the next morning was the wonderful frying of the frog legs where they jumped all over the pan. Now, some people out there in radio land are going to say, where did he come up with that stuff? But it's really true. They'll jump. Frog legs will jump when you fry them.
They jump for you too, Gerald?
I think Gerald's not believing that.
I don't remember seeing them cooked.
How'd they taste like chicken?
Fried chicken.
Yeah, it's very, very white meat, yes.
Uh-huh.
Very.
Not much of it.
No. No.
You just, yeah, okay. By the way, we end the show this morning early at 10 because of Tar Heels and playing Virginia.
I think that's correct.
Virginia's playing really well this year, so we'll see how that turns out.
Somebody's playing very well.
I know. It's been this NIL stuff has caused some real problems for teams, and it's a lot of people are winning that shouldn't be winning. A lot of people who should be winning are not winning. So it's making...
Your friend and mine, Bill Friday, warned about this, Mike, a long time ago.
He was on the Knight Commission.
Yes. And he said that we're losing the institution of a student athlete. And it's totally gone now. When you've got high school students out there hawking car dealerships and things like that, it's a sad time.
It is. I still love football season, particularly, and basketball season. But, it certainly changed. But so have we all. Everything's changed. And certainly, if you think back through your life, many things have changed, some for the worse, some for the better.
Yeah, the size of my belt. That's changed.
There I hear an amen. Amen. So,
by the way, we've mentioned all kinds of plants today. There's one I keep mentioning, but it's impatien. Those things were planted in the spring, Gerald, and I've kept them watered. That is the most durable annual.
What is that again?
The sun patience.
Sun patience, yes.
Yeah, and I just hide it. Like you said, plant some snaps. I'm going to replace it with snaps, dianthus. And by the way, isn't that a carnation?
Yes, they are in the same family.
I always thought of that white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Do you want to sing around to that?
No, I can't do that yet. Oh, let's see. A white sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm all dressed up for the dance.
Just like Marty Robbins, huh?
Yeah. But I love the dianthus. The snaps have gotten so varied and so many colors. And
I know.
So
you can really decorate the winter yard.
One of the truly great things about snapdragons, deer won't touch them.
And they talk.
They won't touch the snaps. I ordered some of the I Must Garden deer spray last night. Because the beds I plant for my daughter, one bed yesterday I saw where the tops of some pansies had been munched on.
Uh-oh.
By some deer, so I'm gonna spray them Monday with that.
But you will almost take an oath that they won't touch a snap.
I planted them all over Centennial Campus at State. They've not touched the first one, and they did eat the pansies slam out of sight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take some calls. Rob is in Durham. Rob, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I had a question for you guys, if you remember, and I know you don't remember.
Is this an insect question, Rob?
No. This is better. In 1953 and 54, there was a big incident down in Bladenboro, and I'm wondering if Rufus remembers it because you and I are too young.
Something that Rufus caused, or?
Yeah, Rob, it
could be.
Bladenboro.
Something was killing the dogs in Bladenboro, and it caused a huge panic. They had like 600 different hunters come down, go through the swamps and the woods.
What year was this?
1950, the winter of 53-54.
Okay.
So Rufus would have been about, what, 10?
Yeah, I was in the Panther?
That was in North Carolina.
No, what was it?
Oh, well, they never really found out, except somebody killed a big bobcat and hung it up on a flagpole in front of the post office, and all the killing stopped.
Ooh, bobcat.
A bobcat, and they called it the Beast of Bladenboro. So,
now I've heard of that.
That was what it was. Well, this weekend they're having Beast Fest in Bladenboro.
Oh, well, good for them. How about that?
The former lieutenant governor didn't do that, did he?
No, I'm not sure.
Oh, me. Well, that is so interesting. I hadn't thought about that in years.
Well, I went down there to find somebody that remembered it, and I met a lady named Joyce, whose father, she and Rufus are about the same age. And she said that she was a little girl, and her dad was the bravest hunter she'd ever seen. He would not go out of the house and would not let the dogs out of the house.
Wow.
People were just freaking terrified.
I guess so.
Sounds like another subject to me, Rob.
Might be.
Hey, man, that's it.
I'm working on it. As a matter of fact, but the other thing is, if you used to go to Bladenboro to the beach, and there was a drugstore there on the corner, if you remember that place, and our family used to stop and get a milkshake or something to drink on the way to go down 17 to, I mean, down... I guess it's 117.
117 to go to Carolina Beach down through there.
Was it 117? I guess it was.
Yeah, it was 117. We used to get, had a railroad, followed a railroad track the whole way.
Yeah, it was beside the railroad track.
Right.
And they tore it down and put up a new restaurant. But I just remember that from like 70 years ago. We used to stop down there.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I do remember doing that. Rob, thank you, my friend.
You're welcome. I'll see you.
All right.
Bye.
9:42, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up, but not much because Carolina's playing today, and we are preempted here on the Weekend Gardener. We'll talk to Owen and Dave coming up. Back on WPTF, and let's go to Dave. We'll go to Gwen. It's not. Dave, good morning. Hey, Dave. Oh, okay. Who are we going to here? Is it
Steve?
Steve? Well, I don't see Steve on the Dave. Okay.
Yeah.
That's who I said, isn't it? Okay, I don't know.
It is, but
okay.
For some reason, it didn't kick over to the phone in time.
Yeah, I could hear something way in the background. Okay, Dave, how are you today?
I am good, thanks. So someone needs to be the fact checker or researcher for you guys, so I had to look up water dog. And Rufus, is this like a foot-long water salamander type of thing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so water dog is the slang for a mud puppy, just if you want to use the technically correct term.
Correct. Well, good. I'm glad you said, because we called it a water dog.
Yeah.
Well. Hey, I got a quick Legustrum question for you. I know you got Gwen coming up. So this has to be the best year for Legustrum growth that I think I've ever seen in the area.
And just about everything else, at least through the spring, yeah.
So I cut them back after they flowered this year, and they are tall, shaggy, big, bushy right now. And my wife is getting on me to cut them back so they don't look so outlandish. But I don't want to cut off the blooms for the summer or for the spring coming up next year, because to me the smell of those is kind of like spring to me.
I understand.
So if I cut these things back, are the flowers gone?
You're real iffy. Right on the, because those buds form before you can ever see them. So it's not like I can tell you to go out there and check. Oh, look for this, look for that. It's just a timing matter, kind of like with azaleas would be the same way. I'd say it's 50-50. Yeah. You cut them back, you can always blame it on her, but then that's not a winning proposition either.
You need to negotiate.
if you'd like us to talk to her, we would be glad to. If you could put her on the phone, Dave, we'd be glad to talk to her and tell her why you need to wait.
I'm going to have to let her listen to the podcast version of this, because she's not even out of bed yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we don't want her to disturb her. You can put the phone up to her ear.
And then she'll come up out of that
talk
bed
to her
and slam
gently.
His ear.
We could talk to her gently. So we could whisper.
I will tell you one thing. I have cut them back prematurely, as it turned out. And they didn't bloom to start with in the spring, but when the new flush came on them, I ended up with a later bloom. So I have seen that happen before.
I mean, is that a guarantee?
No.
Okay. No.
So that'll be slightly more than 50-50 then.
I think I put you up into maybe 65-35.
All right, so marriage is a compromise, Dave, so we need to come up with
a
compromise.
I'm aware of that. Yeah.
We all are.
Just give in, Dave.
Okay.
Well, that's the easiest thing to do. Just go out there. I mean, it's a nice day to do that.
Oh, it'll be great. Yeah, so the last time I was talking with you guys about the chores my wife had for me, and today she's got a whole bunch more plants I have to put in the ground, she gave me a hard time because I didn't make it sound like she was a very nice person. And I would like to say, for the record, she's a great, wonderful person, in spite of all the stuff she has me doing in the yard.
Well, I'll tell you, she's sleeping the day away.
That is taken. The record is now complete. Accepted, Dave, and it's on the record. She's a very decent, wonderful, loving, kind person.
I'm sure she is.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. I can endorse that statement. So, thank you.
We'd like to talk to her, Dave, if you just... No, that's okay. That's all right. Let her sleep.
Yeah. She's probably just laying there stretching or something at this point.
Well, stretching is good. Just kind of take it slowly, getting out of bed.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Well, good luck with
rush into your day.
Oh, call us back.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. I see signs of life. Hold on.
What's her name? What's her name? First
Jill.
Name?
This is my lovely wife, Jill. Hold on.
Oh, goodness. He's going
to
make...
Mike and Rufus want to talk. Hello.
Hey, Jill.
Hello, Jill.
Hi.
Why do you want your husband to go out and cut those legustrum today?
Why do I want him to cut them?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, they're getting a little unruly.
They are. Does Dave get unruly?
No, he's pretty good.
Okay. Well, what we were telling him was that if he does that, then he would probably lose the blooms for the spring, and that, so we were trying to come up with a compromise, but the compromise was to talk to you.
Well, I think a good compromise is to just trim the top so it doesn't look so unruly, that you can leave the sides.
Well, you say
What do you guys say about that?
Well, as long as she doesn't go down to that place where the bloom comes, if you just want to cut out the flower part, that's fine. But you're going to run the risk of cutting out the bud that blooms.
Well, if you cut the top off, they still, and you don't touch the sides, then yes, you would have blooms on the sides.
On the sides,
yes. Yeah. But if you lightly trim the sides, you may get the blooms as well, too. So that's the only...
But there's no guarantee because you can't see the blooms.
That's right.
You can't see the buds.
The buds
right now.
Preset before you can ever see them. So that's what makes it so difficult.
Jill, we didn't mean to disturb you. I know this is a shock to have to come on a radio station when you're trying to wake up, but you sound very alert.
No worries.
You sound very alert, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. We always appreciate your advice.
Well, yes, ma'am. Thank you. And you call us anytime with your advice.
And we certify
if you have any for us.
And we certify that you're a great person.
We do. We absolutely do. There we go.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dave.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Y'all have a nice day. Be nice to each other. Gwen is with us. Gwen?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have several questions for you, and they are all vaguely related, so bear with me. The basic topic is new landscaping, okay? I need some shade trees in the due south area because that side of the house is hot. And so I need something. And yes, I know if I plant a little twig now, it's going to be years before I have shade. But I want to get started because this is a long-term house investment. So the first question is what type of tree? But let me keep going before we stop. I have several. It's been in the planting stages for years. And I have several things that I have nursed along in pots that may be to the trash stage because of being root bound. I have a red maple. I've got tulip poplars. Can those be rejuvenated, or at what point do you say, okay, the roots are just toast on these and I've got to get rid of them? So let's hit that first, and I'll hit you with my last question. How about that?
It's hard to say without seeing them, but lots of times you can trim the roots, put them in, and they'll take off and grow just fine.
Yeah, just take a spade or a sharp knife and start it up where the crown is and go down and just cut it up. That would do well. I've done it before many times.
Okay. All right. So they have potential until I get them out of the pot. Yes. I have a beautiful red maple, but it's been in that pot probably 4 or 5 years. That's the one I'm afraid is going to be toast. And then I've got smaller tulip poplars. Are those two maybe my best, quickest shade trees, or do you have other thoughts on a good shade tree?
Well, that's going to be on the – do you want it necessarily to be a deciduous shade tree?
I would go for a holly.
You can plant holly trees. You can plant live oak trees. A lot determines on how big do you ultimately want it to be in regards to height and width.
I wanted to shade the house, and unless there's a holly that doesn't have little pointy sticky things that I'll walk across, you know, barefooted, I'd rather not have holly, although they are beautiful trees. I do love them.
I don't know.
And how quickly do some of the oaks grow?
We're running out of time here, too. We've got about a minute.
They grow fairly quickly. It's all in relative to whether you plant a 2-foot one to start with or do you plant a 12-foot one to start with. So
these will be tiny. They'll be little.
It's not a ton of difference on any of the oaks. Yeah, I mean, you can plant red oaks, white oaks, and you know those trees get huge, but it takes a while for them to do that. Just make sure that you spread them out far enough to take into account how big they're going to be 20 years from now.
How far apart is far apart?
Well, it depends upon the tree. I mean, you know, I've seen white oak trees that were 80 foot wide and would need to have been planted, you know, 50 or 60 foot from the nearest tree. So not knowing what tree that you know, there's a lot of variables. Even with the maples, there's a lot of variables in size.
Gwen, we got to go. Can you call us next week?
Okay.
Call us next week and we'll continue this.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Got to make way for the Tar Heels. Their game coming up against Virginia here on WPTF. Brother Rufus, Gerald, thank you, buddy. We'll be back next week on the WPTF Weekend Gardener.